Sure, it was just a four-game series with the Baltimore Orioles, a series in which the Yankees split. However, there is a lot to talk about. Not only do we have to recap the series, but the Yankees also made a trade, and a big-time star seems to be bugged again by injuries. We're going to break it all down for you on this brand new episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. It's great to be on the air again. It has been busy. Busy to say the least. You know, life goes on and everything happens. And, you know, I'm teaching, I'm coaching, I got a lot on my plate. But I am dedicated to bringing you guys shows for every series that the Yankees play. And to be quite honest with you, I'm a little disappointed in how this last series played out. Yankees split with the Baltimore Orioles. For those of you who listened to our last show, I made it an emphasis that they took three or four in this series. Coming off taking three or four from the Indians, I felt like it was going to be such a big momentum boost. However, they were unable to get it done. What's on the agenda today? We're going to recap the series, obviously. That's the main goal of the show. The Yankees also made a rather big trade over the last couple of days. We're going to talk about that move. And, of course, the injury update to Aaron Judge. How serious is it? Is it something that should be concerning now that this is the second time this year we're already seeing this? We're going to talk about all this and more on this brand new episode. Before we get started, find us on social media at Pinstripe Talk ND on Twitter, at Nick Delahanty as my personal account, and we're also on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. We're also on Facebook by looking up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. And we're on Instagram by searching Delahanty Media. For all the latest news and updates regarding our show and our brand, go to DelahantyMedia.com. Now, if you're new to the show, we welcome you aboard. We thank you for taking some time out of your busy schedules to listen to me rant about Yankees baseball. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review on whatever podcasting platform you listen on, whether it's Apple Podcast, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, wherever you may listen, please do us that solid and subscribe, rate, and review the show. For our returning members, thank you for coming back. We love having you here. Now, let's get right into today's action because I think that there's so much for us to digest. Yankees go into Baltimore on Monday night, and coming off winning 3 out of 4 against the Indians, you're hoping that they get on a good note. Davey Garcia finally gets called up. He makes his first start of the 2021 season. However, it did not go as planned for Garcia. Opposed by Matt Harvey, former Met, former Tar Heel to say the least, Harvey was really, really good. Looked like the Harvey that pitched for the Mets a couple of years back. 6 strong innings of work, only allowed 1 earned run, struck out 5. Garcia was a little shaky. Only pitched 4 innings. Yankees clearly had a pitch count on him. Only threw 65 pitches. He allowed 2 earned runs on 3 hits. Walked 3. Struck out 4. The Orioles' damage against Garcia came bright and early. Mullins starts the game off in the bottom half of the first, hitting a home run to right field. Then Freddie Galvis earned a RBI double in the second to give the Orioles a 2-0 lead. It took the Yankees till the 6th inning to get to Harvey. Aaron Judge hits a double to left field, scoring Stanton. The Yankees at this point trail 2-1. We go to the bottom half of the 6th. Hayes scores on a balk, a really ugly balk by Darren O'Day. It was very evident, allowing another run to score. And then Mullins, for the second time in the game, hits another home run to make it 4-1. Here's where things get interesting. Top half of the 8th. Yankees down 4-1, have some guys on base. Actually, to be quite honest with you, his base is loaded. Gio Urshela hits a single to left field. Clint Frazier scores. Aaron Judge is going to third base. Now, remember, LeMahieu was on base ahead of Judge and was trying to score on the play. Judge gets thrown out at third. and LeMahieu scores before the tag is applied. Replay shows it. The umpires thought differently. Now, the Yankees had the ability to challenge. Aaron Boone doesn't challenge. Gets ejected out of the ballgame. It ended up being costly as the Yankees lose the game 4-2. And it was a big turning point. Because number one, you lose the challenge after the eighth inning. Just use it. It doesn't matter if you go to the replay. Right? At that point, you're going to lose it. You might as well use it. I don't understand why they didn't just challenge it. Leave it to the replay. The replay clearly showed that they were right. They should have just challenged it. It would have made the game 4-3. And coming into the next inning, you only need one run in the ninth to tie it and keep the game nice and close. Now, it was frustrating. It was a disappointing way to start the series. Aaron Boone actually said that the Orioles bullied his Yankees team, a Yankees team that only had four total hits, two of which came from Urshela. They did walk seven times in the game, so they did get guys on base. However, 2-for-7 with runners in scoring position. Struck out seven times. Left six guys on base. Not a recipe for success. We've seen it recently. When this team hits the long ball, they win games. That's the key. They win games when they hit the long ball. They didn't do that in this game. What happened? They lost. You know, very disappointing at that. But, you know, it is what it is. Yankees lose game 1-4-2, like I mentioned. Harvey was the star for the Orioles, went six strong, like I mentioned earlier. Garcia was a little iffy, kind of settled down a little bit, did not get a chance to go into the fifth. Yankees turn it over to the bullpen that's been so strong. Bullpen allows two runs, one off of Wilson, one off of O'Day. Lickie was solid again. Chad Green lights out as normal. And you know what? There's your ball game. So game one didn't go as planned. Now you turn your attention to game two, where you're looking to get back on track. Still three games left in the series, and this could be a real momentum swing in the overall series. Before we even get into game two, there's a lot to talk about that happened before it. First and foremost, Aaron Boone made the announcement that Kyle Higashioka has earned more playing time. You're going to see a lot more of Higashioka. And you know what? It's justified. Sanchez has not hit since the early part of the season. Defensively and working with the pitchers, there's clearly an advantage on Higashioka's side. So it's not surprising. I think it's a move where Aaron Boone is going to mix and match, try to get Sanchez back on track. Maybe the competition will benefit him in the long haul. However, expect to see a lot of Higashioka because when he does catch, the Yankees have a very good record. When Sanchez is behind the dish, the Yankees seem to struggle, so I think they're seeing the correlation there, and they're going to give it a shot and let Higashioka see more regular time. I think it'll be a little more split, but Higashioka definitely has earned some more at-bats, according to Aaron Boone, and I totally and wholeheartedly understand that. The other big news before this game was that the Yankees traded Mike Tauchman to the San Francisco Giants for left-handed reliever Wandy Peralta. Now, I was very upset about this move. Not the fact that they traded him, but the fact of the matter is the Yankees thought it was important to bring back Brett Gardner. And I understand that. But it really tied their hands with Mike Tauchman, a guy who in 2019 when they traded for him, let's remember, he was a last-minute move before the start of the season. He became a very, and I mean very important part of that team in 2019, part of that replace for 28 crew. Earned the nickname the Sock Man, hit .277, 13 homers, 47 RBIs in 87 games. 2020 was not his year, had the shoulder issue, didn't really contribute at the same level, and this year seemed like the odd man out with the loaded outfield. Now, you have Aaron Hicks, who's a switch hitter. You have Brett Gardner, who's a left-handed hitter. Then you add Stanton, Judge, and Frazier. So the Yankees outfield was crowded, and Mike Tauchman appears to be the odd man out and was the odd man out. Just a little disappointing because I thought that Tauchman could contribute to this team, especially defensively. But, you know, I understand the move, and the move makes more sense when you dive into Peralta's splits. Now, he's a 29-year-old left-hander, has appeared in 10 games this year, 2-1 record, a 5.40 ERA in 8 1/3 innings work. And before you get into the whole ERA thing. You have to look at his overall numbers because I think that that plays a huge, and I mean huge, role in what you're going to be thinking about this guy. Now, I'm on Baseball 7 a lot, and I might have pronounced that wrong, but, you know, I'm on here a lot. The numbers in terms of percentile rankings in 2021, he's very, very good. Has a very high chase rate, a very high whiff percentage, a very high barrel percentage, which is good for a pitcher, hard hit percentage. He's in the top half of the league in all these categories. Average exit velocity. So you're looking at this guy and you're saying, you know what, he's your typical kind of Brian Cashman type of move. A guy who the Yankees could get value out of, still has some club control. And let's remember, the Yankees bullpen has been taxed a lot. So they're going to need arms. Peralta could definitely help them. So I think that when Cashman was saying he would only trade Tauchman for the right price, I think that right price fell into his lap, was able to get a reliever who they think could really contribute at the big league level and help them out throughout the year. Now, he does have a little bit of a home run issue. That's, you know, a concern, especially in Yankee Stadium. But if you're looking at this move deeper into the numbers, it does make sense. So, obviously, he has options. The Yankees can bring him up and down. There's a lot to like about this move. Yes, you don't want to see Tauchman go. Was really liked among the clubhouse and the guys. But I think if you're looking at this team as a whole, the mix that they have right now just was not working. So they get Peralta. Maybe he becomes an impact arm. If he starts lighting the world up and pitching well, nobody's going to remember Mike Tauchman anyway. They're going to forget he's even in San Francisco. So at first I was a little disappointed by the move. However, I'm starting to grow on it. And looking at the splits, I think this guy could be a contributor. Keep adding to the bullpen, baby. We know that the Yankees definitely need a lot of help with their arms, especially because the starting pitching has not been rather good thus far this year. Now, as we go into game two, speaking of starting pitching, Corey Kluber takes the bump for the Yankees, and he's been iffy. Let's call a spade here. Hasn't pitched more than five or six innings in a start since 2019, whatever the number may be. It's been a long time. But in this start, Kluber had it. Pitched into the seventh inning, allowed one run on six hits, struck out five, threw 96 pitches, was effective, was efficient, worked well, hit his spots. This was the best we've seen of Corey Kluber. Bravo to him. He was lights out. Yankees needed it, especially with the way the bullpen's been taxed lately. Yankees go to Loaisiga for an inning and a third, then go to Lucas Licky because at that point, the Yankees had a little bit of a cushion. They could kind of save their bullpen. Let's go through the scoring play, shall we? Yankees get on the board right away. A Gio Urshela sack fly. Aaron Judge hits a home run to left field in the third, followed by a Kyle Higashioka, the guy who's earned more playing time. He hits a home run to right field. And then following that up, that same inning, Urshela singles to left, scoring LeMahieu, makes it 4-0. The only run the Orioles scored was on a Michael Franco infield single in the bottom half of the fourth. Yankees add another run in the top of the seventh on a Stanton homer. They end up winning the ballgame 5-1. Couple things to note. Number one, Yankees hit multiple homers. They win the game. It's simple. They hit three. Higashioka, Judge, Stanton. It's a recipe for them. It works. Yankees tally 12 hits in this one, a lot better than game one. They did struggle again with runners in scoring position, 2-for-7, left 7 guys on base. However, the long ball prevailed. It got the job done. Bravo to Kluber. Fantastic. Loaisiga quickly becoming one of my favorite Yankees. That guy is lights out, man. I love watching him pitch. When I see him getting warmed up, I get fired up. And Licky throws up another zero in the box score for his outing. He's, you know, crafty. He is not going to wow you with his fastball, but he does the little things and really works on his spots. So when he's on, he's tough to hit. Overall, solid performance. One area of concern, Aaron Judge leaves the game in the ninth inning. They put Gardner in left, Frazier in right. It ends up being that Boone says he's dealing with general soreness again at the bottom half. He ends up not playing in game three, which we're going to get to. Does not start game four, but does come in. Area of concern. We're going to get to that toward the end of this show. But the Yankees go on. They win this one 5-1. Very big momentum boost. And You know what? Now you're looking at this and you're saying to yourself, you want to win the next two to take the series and head back home to the Bronx. After an impressive performance from Corey Kluber in Game 2, Domingo Germán puts up a gem. Seven strong innings of work on a way to another win. Just allowed three hits, one walk, six strikeouts. He was fantastic. And the Yankees offense, once again, followed the recipe. They homer, they win. Let's go through the scoring. Top of the second, we get a Mike Ford. Ford tough homer down the left field line. 1-0 Yanks. Third inning, Yankees tack on a couple more runs. RBI single from Torres scores LeMahieu and Stanton, followed by a Gio Urshela, the most happy fella. Homer to left, two more runs score, making it 5-0 Yanks. Aaron Hicks hits a sac fly to right in the top half of the fifth to make it 6-0. And then downtown goes Frazier in the top of the eighth to left center field. I've been waiting all season for that one. About time my guy Frazier hit a homer for me. Yankees go on to win this one 7-0. They followed the recipe. Home runs win them ball games. It's very simple. The pitching was phenomenal. Germán, like we talked about, fantastic. Michael King, another guy who has been lights out this year. I think he's got 11 shutout innings already of work. Hasn't allowed a run all year. He goes too strong in relief to close out the game. Then he gets optioned to the minor leagues to make room for Peralta. The dude can simply not catch a break. Regardless, Yankees win. Impressive pitching performance from both Germán and King. And the Yankees offense, once again, tallies 12 hits. They hit a couple of long balls. We mentioned them earlier. You had the three. You had Ford, Urshela, and Frazier. And it got the job done. You had some standout performances. Gleyber, two hits. Giancarlo Stanton had three hits. LeMahieu, two hits. Urshela, two hits. Frazier, two hits. And in a lineup with no Aaron Judge, who we talked about was injured, it helps to have guys contributing. When the ball's being hit hard, like they were showing in this game, it makes life a lot easier. So you at least secure a split of the series, but that's not good enough. Heading into Game 4, you want to take the entire series and creep even a game closer to that 500 mark. Unfortunately, Game 4, and I'm glad that I missed the majority of this game. I did go back and watch it via recap because obviously I have to talk about it. Yankees lose this one in extra innings. Not fun at all. Not fun. They lose 4-3. I'm sick of Tyler Wade. I'm sorry to tell you, but I am just sick of Tyler Dean Wade. I don't understand it. If you missed it, Wade tries to bunt with two strikes, fouls out. Just, I don't understand what his purpose is on this team. I don't get it. I understand the speed. I understand the versatility. But the guy can't hit. We know this. He's had plenty of time to try to figure it out. And he just simply hasn't. And then, because Mike Ford pinch hits for Frazier, you have to have Tyler Wade in right field. And it's embarrassing when the winning run's on third and Aaron Hicks is in center and his arm is not even close to where he used to be. Not giving you anything defensively. Very lazy in the field, hitting 139. I've been a big Hicks defender. You know, I've said, you know, hit him third. I like how he's patient. You know, I'm okay with it. But something's got to give, and Yankees fans, I don't want to stress you out, but he's under contract for 5 more years after this one. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. He's already deteriorating. He's not even close to the player he was. Not a good sign for the Yankees. And again, the same issues continue to hurt them in games that they lose. They don't hit the long ball, right? The hits are limited. Giancarlo Stanton had 3 hits. The rest of the Yankees team had 5. They struck out 10 times as a unit. That can't happen. We did see Aaron Judge off the bench in a big spot, but struck out. But we did see Judge. He was able to play. Didn't play the field, obviously, because they put Tyler Wade in to fill in for Odor. But nonetheless, the Yankees lose, and it was a rather tough one, to say the least. There's a lot that you can break down from this game. Let's start with the starting pitching. Montgomery, he was solid. Only threw 74 pitches in 5 innings. Allowed 2 runs. Yankees go to the beef of the bullpen. Chad Green, electric. Darren O'Day, an inning lets up a run. They turn the ball over to Chapman. He strikes out the side. Then, unfortunately, Loaisiga gets the loss on an unearned run. He only threw four pitches, and that's your ball game. Here's your scoring plays. Mancini singles in the first, makes it 1-0. A big Rudnego Dor single to right in the top of the fifth gives the Yankees a 2-1 lead. Then Mancini was at it again in the bottom half of the sixth. He homers. That one was off of Montgomery, so just so you don't get confused there, not off of Chad Green. And your ball game is tied. The Orioles take the lead in the bottom of the eighth. Hayes doubles to center. A really bad throwing error by Torres. Hicks hits the cutoff man. I don't know why he did that. Then Torres makes a really bad throw. Everybody was completely freaking out about the throw. Nonetheless, the Orioles regain the lead. Gleyber makes up for it in the top of the ninth. He hits a ground rule double to deep left center field. Ford scores. LeMahieu would have scored. A really bad break for the Yankees. And then in the bottom of the 10th, against Loaisiga, Mullins hits the sac fly to center, scoring Urias. Really bad throw from Hicks, and that's your ball game. Yankees lose this one, ultimately split the series with the Orioles before heading home to take on the Detroit Tigers. Now, before we get into looking ahead toward the upcoming schedule, a couple of things. Number one, my patience is growing a little thin with Aaron Boone. I think he's more of a friend to these guys in a clubhouse. I grew up watching Joe Torre and even Joe Girardi, and, you know, those guys had their moments where you saw them laugh and have a good time, but they were authoritative. You know, the guys feared them. Clint Frazier makes a really bad base running error where he gets thrown out at third base on a ball hit to the shortstop, and Boone standing on the one side of the dugout, and you could tell that he's annoyed, but doesn't go over to Frazier and say anything. It's up to Carlos Mendoza and other guys on the team. I'm sorry, but if it was me, and I love Clint, as you all know, I would have been in his ear telling him, look, you're killing us on the base paths. Like, you want to play? Like, you got to wake up here. You got to make that statement known. I just think that the guys are not afraid of Boone, and I'm not saying they need to be afraid of him, but I'm saying they should want to impress him. They should have that sense of, you know, this guy's our manager. We got to do what he says. I just feel like there's no urgency from him, and I think that it's going to ultimately lose him his job if this continues. This team has no fire at times, and that's scary. It's very scary. The starting pitching was better. You know, you're seeing, other than Garcia in game one, Kluber gave you distance. Herman gave you distance. Montgomery, if he didn't let up the home run to Mancini, I think would have been left out a little longer. I think the Yankees wanted to go to the strong point of the bullpen and just secure the game at that point. They didn't want it to get out of hand, but he was okay. They need quality starts out of guys not named Gerrit Cole. Obviously, they need Cole to keep doing his thing, but they need the other guys to contribute and step up. It's huge. They need that. That's a huge, I mean, huge part of their season. They're going to burn out their bullpen by the end of May. That is not good. So to see Kluber get back on track, to see Herman put up a great start. Yes, it was the Orioles. Yes, they might not be the best team in the world, but it's a good start in the right direction. And you'll definitely take it. It's disappointing losing two of the four games here, especially after you saw the way the Yankees offense hit in games two and three. You would have liked to have seen it continue in game four. Unfortunately, like I said earlier, if the home run ball doesn't work, then you know what? This Yankees team really doesn't hit well with runners in scoring position and doesn't do the little things in order to win. We saw that in extra innings today in game four. That's what happens. Now, the big question, am I concerned about Aaron Judge? Yes, but I'm not as concerned as I think I should be. You know, I think the Yankees are kind of babying him. I think they don't want to have a further injury. But I will hold my breath because the Yankees do need him healthy. I'm glad they were able to get him a day off, almost full, 2 days off. But I'm hoping that he's back in the lineup and healthy. If he misses time during the Detroit series and we have to reevaluate it, I'll be the first one to tell you that I was wrong and I should have been more concerned. But I think the Yankees realize it's a 162-game marathon why not take care of Judge when we have the opportunity? So I'm not concerned. I'm not worried. But it is something to keep an eye on because I do think that over time it could develop into more, and I hope the Yankees really take care of that. And finally, please find me a backup infielder and a backup shortstop that's not named Tyler Wade. We're all sick and tired of watching this guy, and he doesn't do anything to help this team win. Get rid of him. Please. Please get rid of him. Next, trade him. Let him follow Tauchman out the door, even though we like Tauchman. Let him follow Tauchman out the door. Maybe you could get like a pack of gum for him or something. I'm just tired of Tyler Wade. The guy's got like 9 lives. He's like a cat. It's unbelievable. Please, stop torturing us with Tyler Wade. I beg you. Please. Now, the Yankees return home. They are going to host the Detroit Tigers. Friday, it's cold day. 7:05 first pitch. Saturday, you'll see Jameson Taillon. That's a 1 o'clock start. Sunday, 1 o'clock start once again. Corey Kluber looks to follow his impressive start. He'll wrap up this 3-game set with the Tigers before the hated Houston Astros make their way to the Bronx. Oh, we are excited for that one. You know we're pumped. Now, just to give you a little bit of a heads up, our next show will come right after the series occurs on Monday. Probably be a nighttime show. Make sure you're keeping an eye out for that. If you missed it at the beginning of the show, follow us on social media at Pinstripe Talk ND on Twitter. My personal account at Nick Delahanty. You can find us on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Our show is powered by Delahanty Media. Go to DelahantyMedia.com for all the latest news and updates surrounding not only our show, but our brand as a whole. Remember, subscribe, rate, review the show, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, you name it, shows there available for you. And as always, make sure you're staying tuned for our next and latest episodes where we break down all things New York Yankees baseball. Until next time, I'm your host, Nick Delahanty, and this has been another episode of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. As always, let's go Yankees. Hopefully, we have a great series win to talk about in a couple of days. We'll talk to you really soon, everybody. Take care.